Are you ready for the ultimate coding challenge? Build an app on WSO2's Corio and get a chance to win a Tesla Cybertruck or $100,000. The goal of this challenge is for individual developers to experience Corio, WSO2's internal developer platform as a service, using the free developer tier. The more you do with Corio, the more chances you have to win. For all the details, go to corio.dev/cybertruck. That's corio.dev/cybertruck to sign up, get started, and possibly win. But you've got to hurry, because the challenge ends April 23rd. Good luck.
Cloudcast Media presents, from the Massive Studios in Raleigh, North Carolina, this is The Cloudcast with Aaron Delp and Brian Gracely, bringing you the best of cloud computing from around the world.
Good morning, good evening, wherever you are, and welcome back to The Cloudcast. We are coming to you live from the Massive Cloudcast Studios here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hope everybody is doing well. Halfway through March, spring is almost upon us, and hope everybody is doing well. You know, next week with KubeCon coming up in Paris, I thought it might be interesting to dive in a little bit, kind of thinking about the CNCF and kind of about the entire cloud native community as it's evolved. Obviously, it's grown significantly since the very first one that we had. I think it was all the way back in 2016. In fact, I know it was 2016 because there was an election, U.S. election around, I think, the second KubeCon. So technically, it would have been 2015. So this is almost probably the 10th year of KubeCon technically. But, you know, I got to thinking about it. You know, Aaron and I have mentioned a couple of times on some shows, I think the wrap up for last year's show, and maybe even the one before that, that KubeCon felt like it was still growing, but that the number of companies, the number of projects and so forth that had were in attendance and so forth almost felt too big and unsustainable. And, you know, we've seen, unfortunately, over the last 6-8 months or so, we've seen some number of companies who, unfortunately, were sort of unicorn companies back in the day, back in the 2020s, 21s, 22s, 23s, who have, you know, ceased to exist or have gone through an acqui-hire or some sort of thing. And I got to thinking about, you know, when I look at the CNCF landscape, and for those of you that don't know, the CNCF landscape is this sort of big list of all sorts of projects that fit into a bunch of the different domains that CNCF covers. You look at that list these days, there are 184 projects, 184 different projects in what fits into about, I don't know, 12 to 13 or 15 or so different categories. And so I got to thinking, you know, what if, as we're seeing in real life, the sort of culling of the herd, if you will, where we've seen a number of companies, like I mentioned, who aren't around, but also, you know, private equity potentially getting back involved with some stuff. What happened if the CNCF were to, you know, reconstitute itself as a private equity company? What would the CNCF landscape look like, right? Which projects would survive? How many projects in any given domain need to survive? And so I thought it might be sort of interesting to sort of look at the evolution of the CNCF landscape, the projects that are in there, kind of some data and some stats around where the projects are today, and maybe, you know, think about how would the, you know, in today's world, how should that be laid out, and would that be any more helpful for end customers or end users of those projects? So we'll dig into that after the break. And we're back. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, we're going to sort of throw out a hypothetical out there that what if magically in 2024, the CNCF became a private equity company and they looked at their portfolio that they had just recently inherited from the previous CNCF, from the Linux Foundation. And they said, 184 projects, how in the world are we supposed to deal with all these things? They seem very duplicitous and triplicitous and quadruplicitous, and I don't even know if those are really words, but, you know, there's a lot of repetition in there. And so, you know, I thought it would be interesting to sort of dive into how did we possibly get here? How do we get to a point where an organization that was created for one project, the Kubernetes project, turn into 184 projects in 10 years? And, you know, how might we get that back to something that seems more reasonable or more manageable, especially since, you know, we've seen a few projects such as Linkerd and some others come fall under question, you know, as to, you know, were they properly managed? Did they get shuffled through the process too fast? I don't know that those two things are really all that related, but anyways, let's have a little bit of a history lesson here on the CNCF. So Kubernetes comes out, Google decides we're going to open source the Kubernetes project. And time, Google had never really done a big formal by itself open source project. Now, somebody historically is going to go back and correct me on that and be like, oh, they did a thing for some, you know, some software development thing. But, you know, this was sort of the first time that Google had really dipped their toes out and said, we have a project that we think is really relevant to a very big community. Obviously, there was lots of interest around containers and container scheduling and so forth. And so, you know, Google signals to the world that they're going to open source this project. And so they go out and they find a few partners early on in the days who would also help them, you know, contribute to the project. So this, the CoreOS's and the Red Hats and some others of the world. And the first the first KubeCon is held. And actually, the first KubeCon is actually held before the CNCF is constituted. It was actually JJ Jacks and some other folks who actually owned the name KubeCon before the CNCF. But, you know, given kind of what had gone on in the OpenStack Foundation, in the OpenStack world, the world kind of said, hey, you got to have a better way of doing governance. And, oh, by the way, Google, you've killed off a couple of projects over the time, so we'd like to know that this thing's going to stick around for a while. All sorts of sort of, you know, politics and concerns around this thing that could become really popular in Kubernetes. And, you know, should the world kind of look at adopting it in terms of like, will it be multi-vendor? Will it be open? What will be the governance? How do we make sure that, you know, there's not a rug pull on this thing, whatever it might be. So the CNCF, the concept of the CNCF gets created. So this isn't the first foundation that's out there. There have been other foundations before that, Apache Software Foundation and the OpenStack Foundation and plenty of others before that. But this one gets started. And when it first gets started, it's the only project, right? But it seems like a big enough project that people are like, okay, cool. So the Cloud Native Computing Foundation gets created, and then they start, you know, they have the Cloud Native Con and KubeCon and all those things get created. 2015, 2016, let's call it 2016. Fast forward, you know, 8-9 years, we have 184 projects. So, and in just the last 4 years, we went from about 40 something projects, call it 45 projects back in 2020, roughly, to now 184 projects. So for the first six years, you know, there wasn't that many projects. I mean, it went from one to about 45 or something like that, which is still a lot of projects. I mean, it's really a lot of projects. And then over the last 4 years, 4X up to 184 projects. Just stats-wise, 14% of those projects have graduated. 20% are in incubating, which means they've gotten past the sandbox stage. They've shown some robustness and some staying power. And 62% are in the sandbox stage. So, you know, roughly 82% are not graduated, which, you know, is normal for any, you know, evolving thing. But the numbers are just so big. And so I began to wonder, if we go back in time, if we think a little bit about when the CNCF got started. So the CNCF got started, and then you started to have some projects that evolved. So you had things like Prometheus, and you had things like Istio, and you had, I'm trying to think, what were some of the other early projects, but you had a half dozen or so projects that came along. And actually, let me look. I know there is, because I can go back and look at the CNCF trail map, which is another thing that I put in the show notes, and people might be interested in. But so what ended up happening was a couple of these projects come along, and what happened was originally there was a company called Redpoint Ventures, so a VC company. And they were, in essence, trying to figure out, okay, there's a bunch of open source projects happening. How do we build a map for ourselves to look at how to organize all the open source projects into some way that we can look at them? And they were looking at it from an investment perspective. And then the CNCF kind of saw this thing and they said, ooh, a lot of those projects are potential eventual CNCF projects. So let's kind of partner together and we'll create something called the CNCF landscape. But the thing was originally created as a venture capital sort of mind map, if you will, mental map of like, what does the world look like? And why are there all these projects? And are there moats somewhere? Are there some projects that are winning and some that are losing? So the CNCF landscape gets started and it's only a few projects. And then what the CNCF tries to do, and this is where it gets kind of interesting, is there was a number of companies and actually a number of people in the industry, but it's in particular, a lot of end user customers who were, again, dealing with the complexities of like, gosh, there's so many choices out there. There's, you know, four or five schedulers and, you know, there's different storage projects and there's different security projects and there's different monitoring projects and all these different things like, hey, CNCF, Would you be willing to step up and define a stack for me? Would you be willing to sort of, you know, lay out a stack that you think are the best 10 projects, you know, the best 12 projects or 8 projects that would, if all put together, would give me a stack from infrastructure layer up through container runtimes, container scheduling, security, container registry, monitoring, logging, all that kind of stuff, a developer experience, whatever it might be. Would you be willing to do that? And the CNCF said, nope, we're not interested in doing that. We're not really in the business of validating anything, right? We will kind of work through trying to make sure the projects build open APIs and hopefully they will be conscious of each other and figure out how to interoperate. But we don't want to be kind of a clearinghouse for these projects. And I understood that at the time because it was still new and it was still, lots of innovation was happening and they didn't really want to put their thumb on the scale. But at the same time, what they eventually figured out was, oh, there's a lot of people coming to these events. There's a lot of stuff going on. We would like to be the central clearinghouse of all governance for cloud native projects. And they also figured out it was very, very lucrative to be in that business because more people were going to come to your events, more people were going to sponsor the CNCF, more people were potentially going to participate in various ways, whether it was in steering committees or commitments or whatever. And so they went from, again, one project to lots of different projects, but they never really were willing to kind of step out on a limb and say, this is the stack you should use. These are the best ones. I mean, they graduated some projects, but so much was the other things. Now, one of the things they did to try and kind of calm these concerns about, like, gosh, there's just so much there. You guys aren't giving us any guidance. Like, what should I do? They came out with something called the Cloud Native Trail Map, and there's a link to that in the show notes. And what was weird about this one was they were trying to give people, you know, kind of the classic crawl, walk, run. Here's the baby steps you can take. Here's the next kind of incremental steps you'll take. And then here's the sort of final steps you'll take. And it's, you know, the classic kind of go after low hanging fruit and then build upon it and then, you know, take on big problems. And what was kind of weird was, you know, if you look at it, it was step one was containerization. Step two was CI/CD. Step three was orchestration. And you're like, okay, well, that makes sense, right? Like get familiar with the base concept of a container, how to put an application in there. Second thing was CI/CD. Okay, if you can't build continuously or deploy continuously, even with one container, how are you going to do it with hundreds of them? And then once you sort of got familiar with that, then it was like, okay, you know, work on containerization, you know, work on orchestration. So Kubernetes, if you will, or something. And then, you know, the next thing they had was observability. And that made sense. Like, okay, you're going to deploy an application. You've got to be able to see what's going on. And then it just kind of became a hodgepodge. It was, well, the next thing you need is a service mesh. And then the next thing you need is networking. And you were like, well, wait, why would networking be next? Because if I get to more than one container with orchestration, wouldn't networking come next? I don't know. And then the next one was, distributed databases and storage. And you were like, okay, now we're getting into this sort of weird big tent world of like, why am I doing storage and why database is part of this? I thought we were really just kind of doing containers. And then it was like streaming and messaging. And then it was like container registry and runtime, which is weird because it's like, well, I need a registry and a runtime for one container. Maybe that should be back at the beginning. And what you realized was they were just kind of building a trail map of whatever the next projects that came into their environment were. We're just going to add those onto the back of the map. And then again, we got into this thing of the CNCF is not laying out any sort of real roadmap for you. And they're not really giving you any guidance because they became the place where it was just like, we just do governance and we're just a bazaar, right? We're the place where you can just come and sell anything or you can bring any project and we'll kind of fit it in for the governance of it. And what's weird is that usually that works in the early days, because in the early days you've got early adopters and they don't really necessarily want you to define for them what's going on because the technology is not terribly well defined and like lots of things can change. But we're now 10 years into this. And we're still not seeing, you know, the CNCF necessarily come out and say, this is the best path forward. In fact, you know, we've still got tons and tons and tons of different options that are out there. So anyways, I thought, you know, I got to thinking, I said, well, what if the CNCF changed their mind and they went from being a governance organization to really being more like a private equity company, which is like, I want to get us lean and mean. I want to get rid of lots of duplicate processes and things that aren't necessarily doing as well. And you know, as I look at this, maybe that's what the CNCF needs. Maybe that's what they need in terms of sort of their second act, if you will, because 10 years in, we are still seeing, you know, Kubernetes do terribly well. It is doing very, very well. Terribly is the wrong word, but it's doing very well. We're seeing more and more adoption of it. And then we see people get stuck. Like, how do I do these things? And the more and more end user companies you talk to, you realize, you know, if you go in and talk to them about what stack they have, they're all over the place, right? I mean, they've got six different ways that developers are going to package applications and get them onboarded. You've got, you know, environments in which teams have, you know, more than one CI/CD pipeline. You know, each team has their own way of doing it. And, you know, they use different deployment tools to deploy infrastructure versus the applications they deploy. And when you look out at the CNCF landscape and you go, well, yeah, of course, because in essence, there is no guidance on here. There's nothing on here that tells you that, like, that project, there probably is some things if you dive way deep into it and the number of GitHub stars and, you know, you can analyze all the, what's the velocity of how many commitments have been made to the project or, you know, how many people are working on it? Where do they work? Are they all tied to one vendor? Are they multi-vendor? Are they, but there's just not enough there to really give you a, you know, go down this path. And then even once you, within any given area, once you get a graduated project or multiple graduated projects, like I'm looking at security and compliance, Falco, graduated project, Open Policy Agent, graduated project, Tuf, graduated project. And then there are, you know, 6, 5, 6, 7, 8 in the incubating space, let alone the other, I don't know, 40 plus that are there just under security and compliance. And I guess you could take it as like, well, I guess if they're all graduated, those are good. And if they're incubating, they're kind of endorsed. But, you know, then why are the other ones even shown? You know, I don't know. So it's, I'm looking at this and I really do feel like one of the things the CNCF should be looking at in terms of, have we done a good job with governance? Yeah. In general, I would say, you know, you'd get an A for governance, right? Yes, there've been some one-off things here and there, but every organization has that and it's totally understandable. But if we're now getting into the mainstream of, you know, where our industry is in terms of cloud native adoption, and we want to accelerate that, because the reality is it's good for the CNCF. It's good for the technologies to be used much more. You learn more in usage than you do in people going, well, that thing wasn't very good, so let's just spin up another project that looks sort of like it with my own spin on it. And the other thing is customers, you know, end user customers want to know what's the path for success. And if ultimately, you know, we're likely to go through a period of time where there's not necessarily going to be tons of funding for brand new companies, there's likely not going to be tons of funding for B rounds and C rounds and D rounds, even for some of the unicorns. You know, an organization like the CNCF has to start looking at customers, end user customers, you know, attending their events, them trying to learn more than expecting, you know, 150, 200 vendors to be, you know, ponying up money for the booths at the different events. And so, you know, the more I think about this and the more I kind of, you know, think through this, I do think there needs to be a certain amount of guidance or reduction of duplicity or, you know, some sort of thing that says we're not going to just keep taking on projects and they're just filling up this map, this giant, you know, dartboard, if you will, of new stuff. There needs to be some guidance on, like, you know, how should, you know, should you use these? Do we recommend that you use these things? And I understand graduated and incubating and sandbox is kind of their way of doing that, but you can't have 6, 7 incubating things in a space, right? Like, there's got to be something there for customers. So anyways, I'll wrap it up there. Just kind of my thought going into KubeCon. I'm sure there will be some awesome announcements. You know, the community always tends to come up with stuff, but I do feel like we have crossed the chasm with the CNCF. I feel like we've crossed the chasm with cloud native. We are literally into the 10th iteration of the event this year. It needs to have some more guidance if we want mainstream customers, not just the bleeding edge customers, to be able to look at what comes out of the CNCF, could be collectively as a group, could be from the leadership team of the CNCF, to say, this is a more focused view of what's needed. And I know people will argue and they'll say, hey, you shouldn't put limitations on innovation and all that stuff. I'm not advocating for that whatsoever, right? I definitely think innovation should continue to flourish and there shouldn't be a whole lot of restrictions on it. But at the end of the day, you know, the cloud native kind of era has gotten to a level of maturity. And obviously, as we've mentioned on this show a bunch of times, AI is now sort of the new hot thing. It's going to be the place that gets a lot of attention. And in the best interest of trying to help people to be as successful as they can with AI projects are going to be fast-moving projects that are going to need the underlying characteristics of cloud projects, in that they need to, you know, be able to be modified quickly. They need to be able to scale. They need to have consistency if you happen to have to run them in multiple places. So it starts in the data center, moves to the cloud, or starts in the cloud and moves out to the edge. Like, all those fundamentals of cloud need to be there. And if we are 10 years into cloud and we haven't made it easier to use and we haven't given the marketplace more guidance, it's going to be that much harder for them to use cloud and cloud native as a foundation for AI things. So anyways, just my two cents to the CNCF, great organization. We've had a chance to work with them a lot. But thinking back on it 10 years in, I feel like, you know, maybe a private equity sort of mindset in terms of narrowing down the things that aren't as successful as they could be, trying not to confuse the customers about what options they have available to them, might be a good next step in terms of both, you know, helping the marketplace, but also, you know, helping your own position in terms of, you know, what is your role going forward, as opposed to just kind of the center of gravity of all projects to be governed. So anyways, with that, hope everybody who is going to KubeCon enjoys it. Hope they enjoy the trip. Hopefully Paris is great. Hopefully the weather is good. Hopefully lots of new stuff comes out of that. We'll be looking forward to what's coming out of that. So with that, we'll wrap it up. Hope everybody's doing well. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for giving us a rating on Spotify and Google and iTunes and Apple Podcasts and all the different places that you you know, you get your podcast and so forth. And with that, we'll wrap it up. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to The Cloudcast. Please visit thecloudcast.net to find more shows, show notes, videos, and everything social media.